Hey everybody, I'm Michael.
I'm Justin.
And you're listening to the Film Ninjas podcast. Well, today's episode, we are continuing our talk about the spring movie preview that we started off 2 weeks ago, I believe. We talked about in that one, Noah and Godzilla.
That's right, how disappointing they're probably going to be.
Well,
that looked kind of, you know.
But I'm still hopeful for Godzilla, because we found out some information that gave us a little speck of hope that, hey, they put a good director on this, and you never know. It might be something
we'll see.
Pretty good.
But we have other movies to talk about today. We talked about those for a half hour. I mean, you just go back and listen to the podcast for that.
Yeah, if you haven't heard our spring movie preview part one, go ahead and take a listen to that. Also on that one, we talked a little bit about Divergent. If you haven't seen Divergent yet, good for you. You're doing the right thing.
We still haven't seen it. We should go see it.
Should we?
I don't know. I mean,
I read the books.
There's a book?
Yeah.
It gets worse?
It's stupid.
I don't know.
I probably have to do my due diligence as a movie critic and watch it anyway, but I don't know. I'm not interested in watching it because the premise sounds stupid. Rotten Tomatoes, who I really trust, tells me it's stupid.
Because they're always right.
They pretty much are.
I don't know. I've seen some movies on there that are rated really bad that I actually enjoyed.
9 times out of 10, they're pretty spot on. Like, I remember watching Transporters 3, and it was rated, like, horribly, like 10% or something like that.
Oh, my God. That's, like, the lowest I've ever heard of.
Yeah. I got a copy of that movie from a friend, and normally when it comes to this particular friend, I never give them back.
Did you do it back?
You can keep this movie. This movie sucks. Today we're talking about two movies in particular.
I want to see both of them.
Maleficent and 22 Jump Street.
Which one do you want to start on?
Oh, let's do a coin flip. Call it in the air.
Heads.
It's a double tail coin, so I win. Okay. We're going to talk about Maleficent.
I was going to pick that anyway, so
all right, high five.
Yeah, blanket.
Yes. You probably can't tell, but it is freezing cold in our studio today. Today it is very much a rainy winter day.
And we don't have insulation or a heater in this building.
No. So we are bundled up in blankets.
We had to turn off the heaters for the recording, or else you wouldn't be able to hear us. So that's fun.
Well, we're talking about Maleficent to start with.
I'm really looking forward to this.
Really?
Yeah.
Tell me why.
Well, okay, so my whole perspective on it was when I first started seeing the trailers, they always do this thing where they try to make the villain look exactly like it is in the stories, like the previous stories, and they do a really bad job at it. Like, I thought the horns were kind of cheesy at first and the big dress, and then, it kind of grew on me a little bit after watching some more of the trailers and kind of watching a little bit more and seeing how well Angelina Jolie really kind of portrays, from what I've seen, portrays Maleficent. Because the first thing that popped in my head when I saw the big horns was, Oz the Great and Powerful, when Mila Kunis turns into
that was
the Wicked
funky.
Witch. She looked ridiculous. Her head, like, doubled in size, which makes sense because of the chin and the nose, fine. But don't make her look like this over, like, when you turn the big head mod
on. Like a cartoon character.
Oh, can you turn on big head mod in any sort of video game? Ratchet and Clank? Like, yeah. That's what it looked like. That's what it reminded me of.
GoldenEye?
Yeah, something like that. I mean, it was kind of ridiculous, and because I saw it, and I was like, oh, this got cheesy. This just got cheesy. It totally ruined it, like the whole villain aspect of it. But I started kind of growing on me with Maleficent.
I've noticed her makeup. It's definitely not just her regular face. They added, like, some stuff with her cheeks and slendered her face. Made it look more sinister.
Yeah, it definitely looks good. But, I mean, as far as I've seen the trailer, she plays it really, really well. And one thing I'm really looking forward to is people do, like, CGI, but then they, like, all do the kind of the same thing with the humanoids, whatever.
Right.
But then the things that she summons to fight the kingdom's army, they are very, very creative. They look really, really cool, and it's not like the, you know, normal things that you would expect to see that you're always seeing in a fantasy-type movie.
She's, like, one of the most powerful Disney villains from what I can remember.
Yeah.
Like, she's got crazy powers. Like, I remember the end, and I remember that was the coolest ending, I think. Like, before I saw Aladdin, which, you know, wasn't too much later on when I was that little, but Prince Philip, he's actually one of my favorite princes because, one, he has, like, a real not stupid name. He's not Prince Charming. He's like a real dude. But then he actually goes and fights Maleficent as the dragon, you know, cuts through the thorns and everything like that, fights his way through the maze, and ends up stabbing Maleficent in the heart. Man, I can't wait for that fight scene if that comes, because...
Yeah.
I hope it's not just a prequel. I hope this is... I'm a little more hopeful for this, that this is its own complete movie where you don't, like, watch it and then, like, oh, great, I know what's going to happen to her next movie.
You're just kind of waiting, yeah.
Yeah. Because another thing I thought about this, too, and...
Well, what if they turn it into a series?
I don't know where you'd go with this.
The original movie made into live action, I guess?
Yeah.
But but from the trailers, it looks like they're already doing that.
I saw a couple trailers that... Of course, it makes sense, because it's based off of the Sleeping Beauty feature film back in 1959. But to me, I feel like what they could have done was... said, yes, this is based on the Disney interpretation of Sleeping Beauty, but it's its own thing. Like
this is the basis of the story, but we're going to go and take it and kind of twist reality.
Like,
a little
have
bit.
You ever seen the TV series Once Upon a Time?
I have not. No.
It's based on, like, all the Disney properties, a bunch of other things.
I heard about it, but I never ended up watching it.
Basic idea is that it takes the basic ideas of the storybook characters, like, you know, Snow White, you know, the Evil Queen. The prince and everything like that, but one puts them into modern settings, but does little twists on, I guess, the cliches, the tropes, the things that you remember about the story that are, like, real significant, like the poison apple.
Right.
It's all these different things. It's not Snow White strictly by the book, if you will.
Which I would enjoy if they changed up a little bit.
Yeah, I think if you do a little bit of a change up, say, yes, this movie Maleficent is based off of Sleeping Beauty, but basically it's, you've never seen this version of Sleeping Beauty before. It's a new direction of Sleeping Beauty.
Which would be a lot better, because I don't want to see a remake.
I don't want to retread on...
Right. I don't want to see something that was exactly the same as what I saw when I was a kid.
Right.
I want to see something that's, like, new and is going to captivate me as an adult, not as a child.
Right. Which, I think they did a little bit, because in the trailer, Lana Del Rey, she does... Once Upon a Dream.
Okay.
Which is the... I don't think it's the theme to Sleeping Beauty, but it's a very iconic song.
Right, right.
I remember that from that movie. Uh-huh. So I think... And it sounds creepy. It sounds eerie. It's not as cheerful and lighthearted as I remember in the movie, because it's sung by Princess Aurora. And now they're kind of, like, singing the song from the perspective of Maleficent, which is... Ooh, this is, like, different.
Yeah. Something I noticed when we went into and I started looking up the cast of the movie was they had a teen Maleficent role.
Really?
Yeah. Played by Ella Purnell. What do you think that's going to turn into? I mean, is it going to talk about Maleficent's past? I mean, is it going to, you know, kind of start out why she's evil? Or, I mean, is it just going to kind of... I don't know where that would, what kind of direction that would take.
Ella Purnell, she's been in a couple movies herself. She was in Never Let Me Go. She was in Intruders. You know, I mean, not in the whole big name movies, but she's not a nobody.
Right.
And from what I can tell, you know, if you cast someone like that as a very specific character in a very specific time role, like Teen Maleficent, that means that she's they're going into her backstory, like, a lot.
Right, they're going to focus on it a little bit.
And it makes sense. You know, it's about Maleficent. It's
right.
The freaking name of the movie.
Right, and I was so it kind of gives me a little hope that they're naming it Maleficent and not Sleeping Beauty. So it's going to be very, very focused on Maleficent herself instead of on Sleeping Beauty. So it'll just be a wholly different side of a story that's familiar.
That would be cool. I would like that.
Because that would be really, I would really enjoy that, definitely.
I noticed this. Elle Fanning plays Princess Aurora.
Yep.
But she also has another person plays Aurora, but it's just as her voice.
Right, right. Charlotte Chatton?
Yeah, Charlotte Chatton. Now, if you're typically doing just a voice role, I'm pretty sure Elle Fanning can do just a good job speaking her own lines. So I doubt she's...
voice acting for her.
Yeah.
That'd be interesting.
That'd be weird. I'm assuming... especially since they included the bit of music in the trailer.
Mm-hmm.
There's got to be at some point where that song comes up.
Because I was thinking, we were talking about this earlier, but I was thinking that maybe they have, because they have her growing up, that Princess Aurora growing up in some of the parts of the movie, and maybe she's speaking, and in order to make it, like, maybe she looked kind of like, Elle Fanning,
yeah,
before she grew up, but she didn't sound anything like her, like it would be if she was younger. So maybe she was a voice actor for her.
Yeah, but how young are you talking about? Usually when they have kid actors, they don't really care, because in a way, right, kids all sound the same.
Yeah, I mean, that's just a theory. I mean, same with your theory about this music. I mean, it's the same.
Like, I'm not hoping it's a musical, but if they don't include some part of that song, I think it'd be a waste.
I think that they should do a big orchestra type of song like that. Like, kind of really take the old song that was kind of done a long time ago and remaster it into a new setting. I mean, especially coming from the Maleficent side, I think that'd be...
That could make sense.
That would be cool. I think, yeah, that'd be really cool. Like, if they, you know, a big building orchestra type song, something familiar like that.
Yeah.
Like what they did with the Alice in Wonderland.
Yeah.
When they when instead of singing the song about the Johnny Depp, instead just read the poem.
Yeah.
Alice, which was really, really cool. So maybe something like that. Maybe they should be redoing that song.
You know, that actually reminds me. I hadn't thought about this, but you're kind of helping me remember. You know, they've done a bunch of, like, live-action Disney movies now for the last couple of years. I mean, probably we're going back all the way to... I think Pirates of the Caribbean is what really started it. I know there's a couple other ones before that, like...
Like, based off of rides, like Disney rides?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if you can really count the Country Bears as part of this... But
kind of, yeah. I mean, it's a food place. So.
No, it was the show. Remember?
Oh, that's right. Sit down in the show. You're right.
You're thinking of the Hungry Bear.
I am thinking of the Hungry Bear.
Oh, no kidding. We just had burgers for lunch.
Yeah, so delicious.
But yeah, I think with Pirates of the Caribbean, that blew up, and I think Disney realized, hey, we got to get in on this cash cow. People love live action Disney movies that are rated PG-13. We're edgy, like. But they made Alice in Wonderland.
Yeah, Alice in Wonderland was fantastic. So it was all—I mean, Pirates of the Caribbean. I loved all of them.
Wizard of Oz is actually a Disney property now, so they did that.
Right, Oz the Great and Powerful.
They're probably going to.
You think they're going to make another? Think they're going to make another Oz?
Well, on top of that, I know they're working on a Tomorrowland movie, which is live action, stars George Clooney. I've heard
that'll be interesting. Don't give him a jetpack. Already proved in Gravity is really bad at that.
Yes. So that's what we talked about so far. Any other notes you got? Jolie Pitt.
Yeah.
She plays toddler Princess Aurora.
Yeah, Angelina Jolie's daughter and Brad Pitt's daughter.
Yeah.
In the crib as a baby. Wonder how much screen time she'll actually get. Think she'll turn into a child actor? Think she'll be another...
I hope not.
Like, not like Will Smith's son?
I hope not like Will Smith's son. It's so disappointing.
Maybe better. Maybe we're like really good instead. I mean, the kid's got two fantastic actors as parents.
I don't know.
I think it'd be cool. If she turned out to be good.
It did work for Angelina Jolie. Her dad's John Voight.
John Voight. Good deal. Anyway, so that's pretty much everything I have for this one.
Oh, Doctor Who fans, especially you, Leah. Peter Capaldi plays King Kinloch, which... is the king of the fairies and apparently Maleficent's uncle.
Really? Uncle?
Uncle.
Is he the king that you see in the trailers, the main guy that's like the father of the daughter?
Or? Oh, no. That guy is played by Charlton Copley, who you might remember from The A-Team and, what was it, Elysium and District 9.
Okay.
He played the main guy in all those.
Oh, he's the main guy in District 9?
He's the main guy in District 9. He played the bounty hunter villain guy in Elysium.
I haven't seen Elysium.
And have you seen the A-Team?
No.
No?
No.
Oh, dude.
It's
you guys...
old, man. He seems like super old.
No, the movie.
They made a new one?
The movie, the A-Team, that came out in like 2009.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't even hear about it.
Oh, you got to watch it. People said it was stupid, but it's
probably
cool.
Is.
It's got Bradley Cooper as Face. It's got Liam Neeson as Hannibal.
Those are two really good actors. Why didn't I hear about this?
Oh, you should watch it. And then who else is in it? Oh, yeah. It's got Rampage Jackson as B.A. Baracus.
Yeah, okay.
And he plays the Mr. T character.
That's awesome.
That was cool. You should watch that.
I will.
But yeah, Peter Capaldi, Doctor Who fans, that's cool.
So he's the king of the fairies?
He's the king of the fairies, and he's the Maleficent's uncle. So I'm assuming, especially if they're bringing in like another relative, that there's going to be a lot more backstory to Maleficent than we imagined.
Definitely looking forward to that a lot then.
Because
than I was earlier.
Well, another thing too, if they're doing a young Maleficent and Maleficent's uncle, who else? Miranda Richardson plays the Queen of the Fairies who disliked her own niece, Maleficent. A lot of Maleficent's family. If there's that much, then it's not just like Sleeping Beauty from Maleficent's perspective.
It's like Maleficent as from Maleficent's perspective. I mean, it's all about her.
And it's like her origin story. Probably what I hope they tell what she does during Sleeping Beauty.
Right.
She's not just like hiding in a castle.
Yeah. That's what it seems like. I mean, through all the trailers, I mean, there's definitely a Sleeping Beauty focused part of it. So, I mean, this is going to be really interesting.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to it. Just off the top of my head, I'd probably give this... I'm hopeful. I'll say, especially with the cast that they got, I'll go with an 8 out of 10 shurikens for this one. I'll let you know once we see the film.
8.5.
Eight and a half?
Yeah.
Oh, man, you're on the same boat with me.
Yeah, definitely. I've got high hopes for this one. I mean, it looks really, really good. There's only one part that looks really cheesy when she starts yelling about the 16th birthday. And yeah. That's really cheesy the way she did that. I'm hoping that, like, that's the only cringe moment, and then it's perfect. Everything else.
But you got to have some cheese. Get some cheese with your nachos, man. All right, so that's Maleficent. That's coming out May 30th, 2014. So go ahead and check that out.
Can't wait.
Yep.
All right, well, what's our next movie on the list?
Next movie we got, and the last one for today, is going to be 22 Jump Street.
Yes,
I want to watch this movie so bad.
Do you?
I hope it's in theaters like tomorrow.
I'm afraid of this movie. Mainly because big comedies like this, like 21 Jump Street, was a hit, and it was hilarious. I'm really afraid that 22 Jump Street is going to recycle all the same old jokes and just in a different setting.
I think it's possible.
Because, like, college, they're going to be out drinking and whatever and partying and doing drugs. It's the exact same thing that happened in 21 Jump Street.
Just in
high school.
Just a little recap. If you don't even know what we're talking about, 22 Jump Street is a sequel to 21 Jump Street, starring Channing Tatum and Jonah Hill as Janko and Schmidt, respectively, who go undercover in a high school setting in 21 Jump Street to find out who is getting all these kids hopped up on this new fancy drug. And because they look very young, they're like cops who just got out of the academy. But they messed up, so they got put in this program where they have to go undercover, find the drugs. I love that line. It's like, infiltrate the dealers, find the supplier. That's your job. Do your job.
Why do you love that line so much?
I don't know. My friend and I, we quote it all the time. Infiltrate the dealers, find the supplier. Like, every time he tells me to do something, I'm like, what am I supposed to do? Infiltrate the dealers, find the supplier. Like,
oh. Okay.
I'm going to the store. Like, but that's 21 Jump Street, where they do all that. They're in high school, and they're, you know, trying to find a drug bust. In 22 Jump Street, they're going to college. So that's why, I think Justin's...
I'm a little skeptical. I mean...
I know your skepticality, but it's... I sense that there was... They were escalating to that point. There's a next part of this story that they can tell. I think it's different from, like, Anchorman 2.
That's what I was going to say. Because Anchorman 1 was absolutely hilarious and one of my favorite movies ever. Anchorman 2 was not even close to as funny as Anchorman 1. Like, it doesn't even compare. It's on totally different universes.
Still funny. Still very funny.
Had his moments, not even close to Anchorman 1. And I feel like this is what's going to happen with 22 Jump
Street. See, I think the difference between those two is that Anchorman had its story, told it, and if you did a sequel to it, it was going to be a complete rehash of the same jokes.
Right.
With 21 Jump Street, they went to high school, but then immediately at the end, they did set it up for a sequel, and they made it where...
Right, whereas Anchorman 1 wasn't really set up for a sequel.
They didn't really set it up for a sequel. 21 Jump Street set it up in a way that, okay, they're going to make a sequel, and this is the reason why. Because they're going to college. I don't know. See where you're going, though, because
the couple of actors,
high school party movies, college party movies, they all tend to do the same kind of crap. Not very different.
The only actors I'm really looking forward to seeing in this is Nick Offerman, Ron Swanson.
You have to call him Ron Swanson?
That's all I can think of in my head is Ron Swanson.
Did you ever take those tests on BuzzFeed where it says, like, which Parks and Rec character are you?
No.
I'm Ron Swanson.
Is it one of those, like, really obvious ones where you go, okay, I'm just going to pick bacon and eggs for every answer and I'll be Ron Swanson?
No. My friend, he was, like, he's a bigger Ron Swanson fan probably than even me. Yeah. And he tried to take all the answers and, like, oh, this sounds like the most manly thing you could pick. And he picked, Jean Ralphio.
Okay. Oh,
the
God.
Guy who's always rapping.
Really? Oh, that's so funny.
And he was like, oh, my gosh, I'm Jean Ralphio? No.
That's awesome. But
and I took it, and I'm Ron Swanson. It's like, dude, at least we both agree on the snake juice thing. And he's like, oh, yeah. And then he started rapping. I'm like, dude, that's why you're Jean Ralphio.
That's right, Jean Ralphio. Awful raps. But Rob Riggle, Mr. Walters,
when they
go visit him in jail, him and Dave Franco, Eric Molson.
Yeah. If you haven't seen the trailer, go check it out, 22 Jump Street. There's a Red Band trailer. It's got some language in there, but, man, is it heck of funny. Definitely one of the biggest trailers that popped up on YouTube, I think, in the last month. It's got, like, over 1 million views.
Rob Riggle.
Rob Riggle is the man.
He's so funny. I love his take on the comedies he goes into, because even in off-the-wall comedies, he is off the wall from that. And he just, like, he takes things that, like...
Like in The Hangover, when he was one of the cops shooting the taser at the guy?
Yeah, exactly. Oh. He just, like, he takes things and he twists them around to a point where they are hilarious and he doesn't have to try super hard to do it.
That was kind of one of his calling cards when he was a correspondent on The Daily Show. He was really great on that one.
Mm-hmm.
So 22 Jump Street, June 13th, 2014. Yes, I know it's June, but technically summer doesn't start until June 21st, so shut up.
You want to take that down to a level of shut up?
Okay, so in this, I got a little tidbit for you for 22 Jump Street. Apparently, there's a cameo appearance by Brad Pitt.
Why?
I have no... Well, it's a cameo. It could be for any number of reasons. He can play any character he wants, I guess.
I guess, but... I mean, he's going to play himself? Are they going to be running into Brad Pitt on the street and freaking out?
Well, like in 21 Jump Street, Johnny Depp, he did that crazy cameo appearance. I loved that.
That's right, huh? Okay.
Brad Pitt, I don't know what the heck he's going to be doing.
Me either. I can't even begin.
Again, this is a rumor. This is a complete rumor. This is not confirmed, but this comes from a pretty reputable source on Screen Rant. Kind of looking forward to that.
I can't even begin to think about what he's going to do. Like what he would be doing in a cameo appearance.
Hey, who cares? Brad Pitt.
That'd be cool.
He's like Hollywood royalty. He just jumps on a set and like, oh, is this the new Disney movie?
He's just like, oh, I'm Stan Lee. Like...
So that'll about do it for our show today. We got a few more movies that we want to mention just because they're coming out on DVD or, you know, we're not going to get around to doing a whole show about them. First thing that comes to mind is 47 Ronin. That's coming out on DVD pretty soon. Looking forward to that, even though I know on Rotten Tomatoes it only had 12%.
Oh my. Really?
Yeah,
It's Keanu Reeves, isn't it?
It's Keanu Reeves. It's a samurai movie. I'm just, you know, of course, I'm Japanese. I like that crap.
You must love, yeah, there you go.
But, I don't know. I know it might be hokey, but I'm hoping it's one of those movies where...
It's Keanu Reeves, dude.
I can sit back, watch it, and pretend that it's not Keanu Matrix Reeves. Revolution.
Yeah.
I know you were going to talk about Neighbors.
Neighbors. It's funny because I didn't really see anything about this movie for a while, but... Seth Rogen and Zac Efron. Sorry, say it again.
Zac Efron,
yeah. And it got really good ratings on Rotten Tomatoes.
It's at 100% right now.
With 10 reviews.
10 reviews. And it's not much. The movie's not coming out, I think, for like another month or so. But
it's still, I mean, it's probably something worth watching if it got rated that well and it's not just one guy saying,
right.
You know, I liked it.
And, you know, I'm a fan of Seth Rogen. I think he'll do well. And
I hope so. I mean, Seth Rogen's put out some decent material. So, I mean, he's got some good stuff. And, you know, sometimes I'm not really impressed by him. But so next movie, I know we went and saw this one together. We really enjoyed was Anchorman 2.
Yes, yeah. I love that. That's coming out on DVD April 1st. So be sure to pick that copy up. I loved this movie.
Even though I had some things to say about compared to Anchorman 1, it was still a good movie worth watching. I mean, it's still funny.
It was still funny. I mean, you know, it's never going to be as good as the first one because it's not completely original.
Amazing. Right, right.
But you and I, we still find ourselves quoting it every now and then.
Right.
Like,
yep.
I believe you, but you sound like you're lying.
Why do you say it like you're lying? Okay, well, yeah. We'll do that. We'll get you an ambulance.
Yeah, go ahead and check it out. Seriously, it's certified fresh, 74% on Rotten Tomatoes. Great movie. You know, if you haven't seen the first Anchorman, where have you been?
Well, welcome to America.
Yes. But Anchorman 2, the legend continues. The legend really does continue. Faithful adaptation for a sequel. And, yeah, loved it.
So that about wraps it up then entirely, huh?
So that'll do it for us at the Film Ninjas Podcast. I'm Michael.
I'm Justin.
Stay shady, Film Ninjas.
You've been listening to the Film Ninjas Podcast.